Olha, you ready now? Thank you. This is the board meeting for Orlama Sanitary District of May 12th at 5 p.m. in San Lorenzo. I will call this meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Simon?
Present.
Secretary Duncan?
Present.
Vice President Lee?
Present.
And President Young?
Present.
Thank you.
All right, then I will ask, I don't know, Country, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Yeah, Country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the flag which will stand one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Love it.
Thank you. I have two speaker cards, but they are listed for item 5. Is there anyone in the general public who would like to speak on items not on our agenda? If not, oh, you're Randy, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have you on item 5. I'm sorry, I apologize. You're right. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to stand up and say thank you. Oh.
A microphone. All right. I just wanted to stand up and say thank you again. The San Lorenzo Village Homes Association, we have our senior coffee every Thursday at 10. And Orlama came and provided some wonderful food from Panera. Thank you for that. And they also mingled with all the people. We had a great time. So thank you. And please, we always welcome you back. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Randy. Anybody else have any general comments? Nothing from you. Okay. All right, then we shall move on. The first item on our agenda is a public hearing. And it is public hearing on transition to district-based elections, presentation on overview and assessment of maps, published on or before May 1st. I'll turn this over to Mr. Dang, who I'm sure will turn it over to Mr. Turner.
Yes, we have Matt Turner from Turner Communications here. He will be conducting, providing a presentation on the maps that he was planning on presenting today and talk about what the next steps are. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Turner.
Testing, there we go. All right, so this is the fourth public hearing in the process out of 5. And today we're going to be going over every map published on or before May 1st, which is pretty much the maps that we looked at last time. But this time we've narrowed it down based on your feedback to the top 5. And the criteria, just as a reminder, is equal population with a deviation of less than 10%, contiguous as much as feasible, districts using boundaries that follow understandable and identifiable features such as roads, creeks, city boundaries, etc. Ones that preserve communities of interest and compact as much as possible. And in this case, and this is relevant for a point we'll talk about later, is that for communities of interest, we've gone with the broadest legal definition, which is in this case the communities of interest are the census designated places as well as the cities of Hayward and San Leandro as they fall within the district, rather than using any other more subjective criteria. These are the most objective criteria we can use. And then additionally, one of the things that seemed to garner consensus last time was the idea that the two largest communities of interest would be guaranteed at least one spot on the board by the way the boundaries are drawn, and that no one community could get more than 2 seats on the board as a way to be as equitable as possible. So the timeline, here we are on the 12th, with only two more notable items. One is more perfunctory in that after tonight, we'll publish the final map. The deadline for that is the 19th, because you need to have at least 7 days of a map being published before it can be selected. So we will do it tonight once you've got a map that you can get consensus on. And then the final hearing on the 26th will be to adopt that map, and that will become the new map for the district. So a couple of weeks ago now, the Supreme Court came down on the National Voting Rights Act. And fortunately, because of how we've gone about this, we have a pretty good set of armor against any change there, because we didn't use racial gerrymandering as a part of our map selection up to this point. So there's very little chance from those I've talked to who are in the know that we would be impacted by this, whereas in other places it might be an issue. For Oro Loma, it will likely not be. And then the following slide is, if anyone wants to get into the specifics, this was a summary from CalMatters into those details about how the California Voting Rights Act might be impacted. But again, because we have stayed away from the things that could be vulnerable, it keeps us in a pretty safe, secure spot. And there's a way to show this, done an assessment of the demography of the entire district using the criteria of census designated places and cities. And as I think most everybody is aware, this is quite an unsegregated and diverse district. And it would be quite a task to try and make it one. To gerrymander these districts along those lines. And so in the following pages, I think we'll breeze through those, but they're there for the board and the public to go into in detail if they wish to see why that is the case and why going with census designated places and city boundaries has been quite effective. But from here, it does get into the nitty-gritty on the maps. And rather than spending the time going through all of these, I would pose that having seen these maps, looking for your direction about which ones you prefer, and if there are questions about them in specifics, we can actually go into a live editing mode and zoom in at any level on any of these maps and go over their specifics.
One thing, Matt, can you just give us some idea how many pages are attached to each map?
I believe...
No, it's fairly easy to figure out, but so map one will have what, 5 pages?
Yes, each map has 5 pages.
Okay. Director Duncan, you pull your microphone down, please.
Clarification. We had highlighted, I thought, 3 maps that we liked.
And those are the first, those are in this category. So I can point out which ones. So we've got a total of 5, but we can window it down to 3 or 2 or however you want to do it.
I just want to be reminded of what 3 we had all thought should
be. Is it the first 3, Matt?
Let me go to the map summary page here, which is on
page 17 of Mr. Turner's presentation, the big gray number on the bottom right-hand corner is 17, or page 20 of the 110 in your entire packet.
Yes. That's...
3 maps on page 18 are the ones that we had identified.
It starts on 17. There's 2, and then number 70, which is the first one of the 3 that you're referring to.
Yes, but you are correct. Page 18 has the top three choice there. Yes.
And my other question, I'm a little, I just need to have some edification on the map. I mean, our timeline says that we would make the final decision on the 19th and not tonight.
So that's the adoption of the map. And if there were, so tonight is the map selection, and selection requires, final adoption requires that a map be published 7 days before it's adopted as a final map. So tonight's is selection of a map, and then it needs to be published, and then you can adopt it in its finality after that that map has been published. So tonight is final selection of which map you want.
It's just a wording. Okay.
It's the thing that prevents it from being adopted completely tonight is that it has to be published for 7 days.
Oh, I was thinking that the converse, that that process would start on the 19th, but you've explained it and I'm okay with it. Because I thought the 24th is when we had to do the final. I guess I'm just not understanding the timeline. But I understand your response. That's it.
Thank you. Can you give me some clue as to how you named these five maps?
So yeah, some of these were named by
us. What's that mean?
The Llewellyn. So this was one I did not name. This is one from the public, and I believe the origin of the name is because it comes together as a for four of the districts as a cross on Llewellyn and 880.
Ashland Hub, where'd that come from?
That one, TCG is Turner Communications Group, and the idea was that one had less than 2% deviation, and Ashland was one of the districts, though, that that becomes a hub where, and this was one of my problems with it, where it's unlikely, but it could be that Ashland could have four of the five seats on that district, because the community designated, the census designated place of Ashland has four districts protruding into it. So that makes it kind of a hub. It's you know, mathematically very unlikely that it would ever get more than one district, but it's possible.
I think it would be helpful if you would address each one of these maps.
Okay, I'm happy to do it. So we'll start with 53.
Hang on a second. Benny, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I had a question, right? Because I brought this up last time. I think I brought it up four times, right? And many of these maps don't really, you know, one of them gets a little closer, but then most of them still do not follow with what we were asking for in the very first meeting, you know, looking at school districts as communities of interest. And so, you know, so I'm having a little trouble there. You know, like, I think that map that you sent us last time comes closer, but it still doesn't meet with that.
So using school districts, you can't make, there are enough school districts on this map that you can't make one that will work out population-wise. I've made several experiments using a variety of different communities of interest other than the census designated places, and mathematically it just didn't play out where you could use school districts as a primary guiding point for these without making it such that there would be quite a few examples where you would not guarantee that the larger areas would have representation, and you could make it so that some areas could have over representation when using school districts as the primary community of interest designation.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I would agree with that, because, you know, obviously in certain models you regarded one of the maps as not complying with community interest, whereas I probably beg to differ that it does. When we look at something like the Manor District, Washington Manor was actually originally San Lorenzo. And if you take a look at many of the housing designs, they look virtually alike. The communities are virtually alike in terms of that's why I would regard that, you know, that area is very similar.
Well, I am not the final arbiter of which map to select. That's entirely up to you. In any of the previous maps, we can go back to every published map, and it is your prerogative to be able to say, I would like to introduce this map as the map we're going to select from any that have been published over the entire course of this effort.
Interested. Thank you.
Dr. Simon, did you have your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay. So does the board want to hear something about each of the maps or? Yeah, please go ahead.
So last time, Matt, you were working on a map that we had provided some input on, and you were going to modify it after that last meeting.
Well, wasn't that map 70?
That's what I just want to confirm.
It's here.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that map 70 looks pretty good.
And that's the ID, it's ID 76, but I wrote map 70 because when it was in draft publishing, that was the number associated with when we had the conversation. So that's why I put it in quotes that was map 70. And that was the map that got the most discussion in the last meeting.
Okay. Can you tell
me? Can I say something? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, you may, but let Director Simon finish. Were you done?
One more. So on the bottom, there's a little bit of a green on the bottom of.
Move your microphone a little.
Bottom
closer.
Of District 2, there's a little bit of green, two little spots. What is that for and what is that?
That's the city of Hayward. And those are allowed to be non-contiguous because you can't get to those from inside San Lorenzo anyway. You have to come from outside, so they fall within the exception of as contiguous as reasonably possible. So that keeps the city of Hayward as a separate thing, and that was going towards the idea of not allowing any one district to have more than, you know, than two seats, because Hayward's already broken up across two districts, and if it was included in San Lorenzo, it'd be possible for it to get three seats on the board.
Okay, and then what are they? Is like the bottom left one, is that Sky West?
Yes, it's a neighborhood that abuts Sky West, and then the other part is actually property that's associated with Sky West that's part of it's included in the district boundaries, but it's actually my brain is failing me right now. The discharge. It's part of the discharge jurisdiction property.
East Bay Dischargers?
Yes.
Okay. And then the bottom left one, are those homes? Or is that just open space?
On the
bottom left green spot.
The westernmost southwesternmost green spot is just open space.
Open space.
It's part of the discharge authority. Whereas the one that's closer to the other green block, that is an actual neighborhood there that abuts a park.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I support that map 76. Thank you.
So do you want to hear about all the maps as I've asked him to do?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to get to Mimi. So that was my question. So Director Dean, please go ahead.
Yeah, when you guys, when I could see the map, the only map I could ever see was the one that said COI. I could never see any of the other slides you were talking about. Like I can see there's a different slide on the screen right now, but I can only see the screen. There's no slide for me to look at.
There are five slides. I'm going to ask.
Well, I can't see them is what I'm
I know
telling
that,
you.
Mimi. I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to discuss each one of the five. And at the time he makes that discussion, he'll put that map on the screen so you can see it.
Well, what I'm telling you is you guys were talking about five different maps and I could see on the screen there were five different maps. But what I could see on the slide on my screen was the COI. So I'm just letting you know that I can't see exactly what you're talking about. That's all.
But my question for you, Mimi, is can you see this? Can you see the screen that we are all looking at now?
The one that all I can see is a blue blob. That's it.
So you can't see where it says map 76?
Nope.
Okay. All right. We'll do our best to try to keep you informed.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Just letting you know. That's all.
Sure. So at this point, Director.
You know, when you talk about we're going to go through this and go through all of it, what is all of it? What specifically are we supposed to be retaining
so
that we can make our decision?
So as we go through the five maps, I'll describe what, in my opinion, are the pros and cons of each. And we'll field any questions about any lines on that map that you have. I'll let you leave the conversation direction up to you all as to what you want to explore to be able to achieve a map that you find agreeable. And we can go into a live editing mode. And if there's one that you mostly like but want to do something different, we can edit it in real time and make adjustments, and you can see what those look like.
Okay, I just wanted to know what elements you were going to cover so I can make notes and contrast the maps. Thank you.
To Mr. Mogg, if I'm having him do this description, when do I allow the public to speak? Before or after his presentation?
You could wait till after his presentations before the
and
board
before
makes
we continue
comments.
Our discussion. So any question, we can ask questions during the presentation.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Matt, it's up to you.
Okay. So we'll go into 53, and I'm going to pull up the actual mapping tool so that I can get his... that gives us the ability to zoom in at a very high level, yes. 53.
And that's on page 17?
That is on page 17, correct.
35 of the packet, 32 on the slides.
This is where I'm looking at. If he says it's page 17.
Yes.
So I can only see the boardroom. I can't see the map.
Well, it has to have something to do with the streaming from where you are, Mimi. I'm sorry.
So,
well, Director, I could see it.
Go ahead.
I could see the slides before, though. So, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, Director Dean. We're logged in on a separate computer here, and we can see the screen share. Are you using a
All
laptop
right, I'll try
or
logging
a,
on with
or
my...
your phone?
I'm going to log on with my phone.
No, are you on your laptop or on your phone?
Laptop.
Okay.
I have a
maybe
question.
If I turn off my video.
Anyone else that can verify online?
We're signed in.
Oh, you're signed in
on this computer.
Okay.
Just halfway around the world.
Well, it's weird that I could see that one slide, but now I can't see anything. I can't see anything at all. It's all right. I can listen. It's all right.
Let me try one thing, please. We're shared screen. I can't see.
Oh, next on record. On the middle. Yeah. Entire screen.
What's that, Director Dean?
It's now I can see it.
There you go. All right. Okay,
thank you.
And just to be clear, Mr. Turner, when you're talking about page 17, which has the small layout, the actual map is on page 32. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So this one was submitted by the public, and it makes for a rather geometrically clean-looking map, but going with the idea that each community, specifically San Leandro and San Lorenzo, would be guaranteed a seat. These districts, in order to get very close to, quite close to a 4%, sub 4% deviation rate, do spill into other areas. So, again, I've mentioned before that it's possible, even if unlikely, that districts could get more than two seats with this map. But in terms of ease of understanding, it's not bad. It follows the lines of Ashland and San Lorenzo plus Hayward Acres, Cherryland plus Hayward, but Ashland gets chopped up a little bit over here on the southeast, where it joins the Fairmont Terrace neighborhood of Castro Valley, and then into Hayward. And then Hayward is split amongst three different districts here. So Hayward could pick up three seats, even if the odds aren't there. So those are the reasons why this was not in the top three in my picks, to, again, try to avoid the possibility of unequal representation on the board. And if they're happy to answer it at any point, any questions about any of these maps.
What you're saying, just taking my notes, that both Ashland and Hayward in this map could pick up three seats?
Yes. Yeah, in particular, here in Ashland, so this is the body, all the hand on here. So the main part of Ashland here, somebody can be elected from there. The creek down here is actually the border of Ashland, even though most people feel it's, the 238. And so somebody from this neighborhood and somebody from this neighborhood, all part of Ashland, could all get seats, and then there'd be three seats from Ashland. Same being with Hayward, is that there's a little chunk of Hayward here, Hayward here, and then there's little pieces of Hayward scattered across this district. So they could also achieve three. San Leandro also could get three, some from here, here, and here, and along the Bayfair area. So that allows for three seats from any one district, and that was what I was trying to avoid.
Okay. So if we're going to move to the next one, let's be sure we put the right map up for Mimi. Are you going to 52?
That's correct. Let's pull it up.
And where would that map be?
That should be, hang on, give me one second.
That'll be page 25 on your bottom right corner, 25.
Thank you, Mr. Dang. Okay.
This one does a better job of dividing things up, so that you avoid that problem of having more representation. In this one, I think everybody is limited to two. Everybody is limited to two, but because part of the San Lorenzo map falls within Ashland, although some people would dispute that and say that, I know one of the former historians of San Lorenzo always considered this area as part of San Lorenzo. I mean, San Lorenzo High School is over here, but according to the census designated places, it's regarded as Ashland, even though that's somewhat ahistorical. And so this one does achieve that idea that no one area could receive more than three, with the exception of a bit of Ashland right here, the Paradise neighborhood. If someone were to be from the Paradise neighborhood, from the area around Bayfair, and then also in the avenues here in Ashland, Ashland could pick up three. Even if that's mathematically unlikely, it's still a possibility, whereas everyone else is limited to two. And while this map, I think, is serviceable, we have achieved better maps.
Point out Highway 185 for me. That would be Mission Boulevard.
So 185 is here.
Well, it's Mission Boulevard.
Yes, this is Mission Boulevard right here.
That, but I want to see it on the full map.
So, I mean, that's what we're zooming in. This is the middle of 185 here. Right here.
Well, just for the record, I'm the only person on the board who lives in a split area on every map. Everybody else is purely in the middle of their districts. So I'm just want to know where 185 is.
So yeah, and then that, of course, that turns into East 14th up here this way.
Okay, thank you.
And for those who don't know, 185 is Mission Boulevard and East 14th, and that the it changes names as it goes under 238 and on the southern end of Ashland. So and again, go ahead.
I'm sorry, no, it was me. Go ahead.
So again, this not bad. Does a pretty good job of giving equal representation, but I think we've done better on subsequent maps.
Dr. Duncan,
how can it be good if you're saying that it's a possibility for them to get two representatives?
So there's a possibility for three, and I think that's a weakness on this map.
But that's what I'm so.
That's why this is not in the top three. This is the fourth of five.
All right. I mean, I'm okay. I don't understand. I understand, but it's like if it doesn't fit, why are we even discussing it? But that's okay.
That's why.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I'm just speeding right now.
Because his contract calls for five maps to be presented.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions, Director Dean?
Nope. Thank you.
You can see the map?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Good. Director Simon? Director Lee? Okay, we'll move on to the next one, which I think is map 70. In here somewhere.
Is that 70?
So 70 is on. It's called, you know, it's map 76, but then it has 70 in quotes because it was 70 in draft form that we looked at in the previous meeting.
I thought it was map 76.
That's correct. Okay. It is 76 with 70 in quotes. It's a bit confusing, but that's because in the previous meeting when we were discussing it, it was map 70. So I put that in quotes.
Thank you. Can't find anything. All right.
And so this was my top choice, but again, this, you know, I am not the final arbiter at all. My opinion is subservient to yours, and we'll pick whichever map you prefer. But this is the one that where even though the deviation is further than others, it's still well within the legal limit over here of 8.58. Percent, and whereas 10, you know, 9.99 is the legal allowable, but it does guarantee that that San Leandro gets a spot and that San Lorenzo gets a spot. Although San Lorenzo can only get one spot because the lines here are exactly congruous with the census designated place. In fact, I can highlight that on the map here. And I can do this for any of the other maps as well. But if we bring these purple lines up, these are the maps, these are the lines of the cities and the census designated places. And so in this one, San Leandro is guaranteed this district, very likely this district, but it does compete with Ashland, and Ashland is divided in two here, across two, but no more than two. And so there is no possibility that any one district can get more than two seats anywhere on this map, which was quite a thing to try and achieve. I tried many different iterations on this to get this that were within the population deviation limit, and this was the best that I could do. I'm happy to zoom in on any part where you might have any questions.
Questions, Director Dean?
No, I feel good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Board?
When you say that, I don't know why this is, I'm not being able to understand this, but you say that one of the things that makes a strong map is that each district can only be represented by one person or one elected. And then you just say, then you say that, okay, they can, on this map, there's a possibility that, I guess you said Ashland could get two.
Yeah, so
that to me is a contradictory.
So the idea is that no one census designated place could have more than two seats on the board, and in this case, Ashland is spread across two districts here. This is the outline of Ashland, and the purple district and the blue district are within the bounds of Ashland. And just like within San Leandro, there's this light green, and the blue district are within the bounds of San Leandro. So it could have, you know, folks from here and here can elect somebody from San Leandro. Whereas with San Lorenzo on this map, it's only within San Lorenzo. So they would be able to, it's guaranteed that there'll be one person from San Lorenzo, just like this one, the light green one, is guaranteed that someone there is going to be from San Leandro because it's only in San Leandro. Whereas these other ones are spread out because of you know what it requires to achieve a population equality. They're spread out across multiple census designated places. That's why the challenge for me was how do we guarantee the two largest census designated places or cities a seat at the table? Because I felt like it would be, it wouldn't be fair if the two largest population groups were denied a seat on the board. That's my personal take. Happy to follow the direction of the board for whatever you want to do. But that was what I came up with. And so, in this, for example, there are quite a few census designated places or cities, in this case Hayward is spread out across many little non-contiguous chunks. I believe it's 11 non-contiguous chunks that are part of the city of Hayward that are attached to the Oral Loma Sanitary District, and in this map I've managed to contain them within two districts so that they can't be attached in more ways, and it's a challenging map.
Ms. Fred, nothing. Yes, no.
Oh, just a comment. I support this map 76. You adjusted what we asked you to do last time, and I think it looks good. Thank you.
I have a problem with it, so, but we'll talk it out.
Right, we're just getting information now.
Director Duncan, can I help? Do you need more clarification on what Matt's trying to say? Because I think I can help.
It's contradictory.
Well, I think I can help you too if you. It has to do with cities.
I understand okay. That.
All right.
It's
okay.
Quite okay.
All righty then. Then we'll move on to whatever ID 60 is. I don't know, column voting blocks. What is that? Or CAL or COL? Whatever COL stands for.
Yeah, community of interest.
All right.
Interest. Community of interest voting.
Oh, that's an I. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's page 46.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
46.
Okay.
All right, this one is a variation on 52, where it uses the more historical version of San Lorenzo, and it also cuts it, makes sure that it cuts out Hayward Acres, so that keeps Hayward Acres and Cherryland together, but doesn't infiltrate into San Lorenzo. So other than that, it's nearly identical to the previous map, and it gets closer. There's a slightly lower population deviation at 8% and 8.01. So in that way, it's somewhat superior. Other than this chunk of Ashland that many could argue is actually part of San Lorenzo. And if people went with that argument, then this would still fall within the bounds of somebody's guaranteed to be from San Lorenzo, even if they were from over by San Lorenzo High School. But other than that, it's about the same. One thing we did change based on comments last time was in the north in San Leandro, moving this block from one side to the other so that it'd be more compact towards Ashland, towards Bayfair. That was something we did in map 76/70, where we moved this to up there, and it maintained equal population in doing that, just to have it be more compact. But that is a piece that is freely able to slide back and forth at your preference, and they still function quite well that way. But this still achieves that same goal of, and the other exception is here, the neighborhood down here that is attached to Sky West, that's part of the city of Hayward, that's also included in San Lorenzo in this map. Even though you have to drive around and come out in Dolores to get up to that neighborhood, you can't actually get to it through San Lorenzo.
Can you go back there and enlarge the green section so I can see where 185 is?
Yeah, 185 is the
cross street.
So the cross streets here are 143rd. And then to the south, it's, I believe that's Hesperian.
That was just something I asked for last time, and I think I was just told to go to the maps, but I don't do that very well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Director Duncan.
When you say this map is superior to the previous one, what specifically are you pointing out?
Oh no, I don't believe this is superior to 76.
I wrote down the word you said.
This is superior to the previous one that had this extended area of San Lorenzo. So that would have been map 52. So I believe 60 here is.
I didn't hear you reference a map when you just said the previous, and we were just talking about
right,
the 76.
The previous variation on the expanded version of San Lorenzo. Sorry for the lack of clarification.
And so for this particular map, there's not a possibility for two people to be elected?
Not from San Lorenzo.
For any of the five districts.
Yes, for San Leandro can get two, Ashland can get, Ashland could get, depending on your definitions, and this is where, you know, if we're going with, let me pull up the census designated places lines so we can see that. So here, Ashland, again, though, has in this case, there are four spots. And so depending on people's personal take on what they consider to be Ashland, if you were to go just purely by the census designated place definition of Ashland, Ashland could actually get four seats on this, which it's not in my top choice for that reason. But many people consider Ashland to be north of the freeway, and not include San Lorenzo High in this area, and in that definition, it would only be able to get two seats. So that's where things get tricky with census designated places, which is why, or communities of interest, which is why in my preference, I chose to go with the legal definition of, you know, the census designated places and not, you know, a cultural understanding of them, because then you really get into a gray area of what someone defines as that community, and you could end up with a mess like this.
I guess my last question, and I probably won't have to ask any future ones. None of these maps, the way that they're designed, prohibit the districts from having two people represented. So none of these, none of the districts could get as many as three.
So only map 76/70 prohibits San Lorenzo from getting more than one. So and everybody else could get two, but no more than two.
Okay. And so none of these maps are designed that each of the districts can only get one representative.
So I just want to clarify, each district will only have one representative, right? Each one of these colors will only have one person representing that district elected from within that district. Some of these communities of interest, like on this map, Ashland, fall within multiple districts. So if theoretically, if you look at where they all meet, right, if you consider that to include Albee Ashland, someone from Ashland could be representing each district, but they would be representing their own district. So let's say someone from
Board of Supervisors.
Right,
okay,
correct.
I get that.
So, okay. Yeah, so this one, again, because it makes that confusing, it's not my personal top choice. It's a legal map, and in some folks' definitions, it doesn't give the possibility of more than two, but that is open to interpretation, and that's why I wanted to avoid that kind of thing.
Always say maybe two, and it's like, no, you can only have one. I get it. And thank you, Alex. I understand it, but it's, you know, when you're selling that, I shouldn't say when you're selling, when you're communicating this to people that haven't sat through all of this, it's very confusing.
And I suppose one way, you know, even for this map, if Ashland got multiple people, like if you look at the blue district, right, then that's still, the bulk of that district is San Lorenzo, and San Lorenzo voting, deciding, hey, we want this person who happens to live in Ashland to represent us. It's still those citizens making that determination.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Ready to move on to the next one? I think that we have one to go.
Go ahead.
And this will be map 56.
I'm 39 in the packet.
I'm going to say put in the right order. Thank you.
Mimi, you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. Very sleepy.
Well, if this doesn't put you to sleep, I don't know what will. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. So this one, in terms of population, does a pretty spectacular job in that it's under 2% deviation. Does a better job of cleaving to census designated places. But again, this one also goes back into people's cultural understanding of what is Ashland. Many people, and the free, those who haven't seen it, there's a freeway mural right here where this this spot is, where this side says, you know, welcome to Cherryland as you're heading south, and welcome to Ashland as you're heading north, even though the creek here is actually the dividing line. And so for many folks, this is Ashland and this is Cherryland. And then over here by, you know, on the west end of Llewellyn, this is San Lorenzo. So this is a kind of a more accurate accounting of cultural understanding. And it does get very close in population deviation to an ideal. I mean, we want to get as close to zero as we can. But again, it becomes very subjective because of that. But to Alex's point, which is a very good one, you know, it's the folks who are from these areas that vote. So even if there was somebody from up here, you know, in Ashland, the voters have to pick that person and be okay with somebody representing them from that particular neighborhood. And again, I think this is our is quite a good map on many fronts. But if we're trying to stick to the most objective definition, it still is not quite as good as the map 70-76. But that map does have a much higher deviation. It's 8.5% as opposed to this one being sub 2%, which is quite good.
Okay. Any questions, Director Dean?
No, because I feel like that you're still rating. So is this one in second place compared to number 70/76?
In my opinion, in my opinion, this is second place, but that's okay. I mean, again, my opinion is subservient to the wishes of the board.
Okay. And could you review quickly just one more time? So this one is in second place because it does not strictly align with the census designated places, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Anything else, Director Dean?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Director Duncan.
It aligns with what people's understanding of the communities that they live in.
Yes.
Communities of interest.
I would say yes in some of my understanding, but again, that's very subjective. I think if we have, you know, four people from the unincorporated community, you might get six different opinions about what this is actually. You know, what makes up the outline?
I guess what I'm trying to understand, what is the difference between map 76 and 56 that make 76 trump 56?
So that there's no ambiguity about census designated places on that map because they adhere exactly to these lines, as opposed to, you know, in particular, Ashland is because Ashland geographically falls in the middle of the district, and this because of the shape of the district is quite unusual and challenging to maintain continuity and compactness. It is very hard to draw one of these maps that falls within sub 10% deviation that doesn't chop Ashland up into more than two pieces. And the map 7670 is able to do that. It's Ashland is only divided into two rather than into more than two, which is the case for every other map that we've gotten from the public or that I've been able to draw.
Deviation, as long as it's below 10, is fine.
Yes, it's legal. I'll say that. But I think the closer you can get to zero, the better, but it gets very tricky on the map.
The 56 is at two.
Which is quite good. But again, then you're going after
it's okay.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
Anything else? Mm-mm. Matt, you're basically solving a six-sided Rubik's Cube. And this is not an easy job. I commend you on the work that you did.
Hey, I have only two speaker cards. If any of the people who were late coming in want to speak on the subject matter, you'll need to fill out a card. Just the two. No, we have one here. Tuan, that's you. And my UPS guy. He's filling out a card now. All right, so we'll start with Lisa. This is the first card I have. You'll need to use the microphone, and I'll give you 3 minutes.
Good evening. Robert Pulitau couldn't be here tonight, and he asked me to speak on his behalf. Robert is the one that actually brought up this redistricting, and this is important to him.
For the record, it was one of our directors who brought up redistricting.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Specifically, Robert asked me to come because the communities west and east of Interstate 880 are very different communities of interest with different needs, priorities, and demographics. It's important that each community has fair representation and its own voice in the redistricting process. In particular, Asian residents and many seniors in the area need strong representation. Many are on fixed income and face unique challenges related to affordability, public services, and neighborhood stability. A large portion of the district's oldest population still resides west of the Nimitz corridor, and their interests and concerns should not be diluted or overlooked. There are actually more similarities between Washington Manor and the communities west of 880 in San Leandro than there are with many of the neighborhoods east of 880 in terms of demographics, housing patterns, transportation corridors, and overall community character. Likewise, the areas east of 880 in San Leandro share more similarities with communities like Ashland and Cherrylyn. These are naturally connected communities with similar concerns and priorities. This is why it's important to keep Interstate 880, the Nimitz Corridor, as a defining line separating these two distinct communities of interest, east of 880 and west of 880 in San Leandro. Any map selected should respect that important boundary and preserve meaningful representation for both east and west 880 communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Next speaker is Randy. Thank you.
I think it's on. I trust in the process. I think Matt has done an excellent job. I really like the 7076. I will also say again that Ashton likes to be its own thing. So I don't see that it's a good idea to lump Ashland with San Lorenzo. We are our own community of interest. So again, if I had my preference, I would go with what Matt is going with, 7076. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments, Randy. And my next speaker is Tuan.
Oh, thank you very much. So I have walked and campaigned for various candidates, been on the ground in this area. And when you're on the ground, you can see a lot of different things.
Well, can you stand up, please?
Oh, sure. When you're on the ground, you can see a lot of different things. You talk to, you knock on doors, you talk to neighbors, you can hear they have different interests depending on where they're at and which neighborhood. And it's important for each area that have different interests and concerns be well represented. And when I go onto the online site, I see several maps. I appreciate that some of the maps you are making sure that the deviation is a little bit lower, so there's more equally divided areas. But just to her point, when I'm on the ground, I see house styles, I see districting. Just so you know, in the 1950s, Washington Manor was its own census-designated place. And it was actually part of San Lorenzo unincorporated area before 1957, when Washington Manor was incorporated into part of San Leandro. So what you see on the ground is some of that still remains. So it's important that San Lorenzo and Washington Manor have be connected, because historically they are. And when you're on the ground, the communities, the neighbors are still connected. So this area should be more like down here. And this area, so it turns out that the Nimitz Freeway, 880, is very defining. The in terms of income levels, the left side, I would say the west side and the east side are very different. So you should respect that boundary. It naturally exists for a long time, and the communities have been there for a long time, and it continues to be different. So this area should be respected as one area. This area should be enlarged as one area. And we should really look at all the maps that are online. Some of them have been submitted by the public that really minimizes the deviation. So I just want to point out that natural dividing line of 880 and respect the community voices, concerns, and the community area of interest there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, your time is up. Thank you very much for your comments, Tuan. And does everybody here understand that we're talking, we deal with sewers here. We don't deal with sidewalks and parks and, because if you, never mind, it's not my place to make a comment, but I wanted to just say that.
Thank you, though.
You're welcome. And our last speaker is Mr. Keith Barrows, UPS fame.
Hello, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
To address this gentleman's comment about the Nimitz Freeway, it is a defining boundary, but however, I will speak to this being the Nimitz Freeway right here. This and this on both sides of the Nimitz Freeway are definitely San Lorenzo, specifically San Lorenzo Village, 94580. And the idea of combining these two areas, the manor, I understand what you say about the manor, but we are completely separated by the creek. They're two separate areas, a city, and I don't think that we need to create more possibility of areas having more than one seat. But Gerrymander, I like this map. This is mine, but I like Matt's better for the reasons which were stated. You know, I know the population. I kind of focused on that, but this little thing right here might be that's kind of its Achilles heel. So I'm definitely in line with map 70 or 76, whichever number you want to call it.
Thank you, Mr. Barrows.
The hand up.
I'm sorry. And do we have people online who have requested speaking? We'll be with you in a moment. So I have a hand raised for Tyler Dragoni. Can you hear me?
Hi, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm not that I'm gonna be very much help. I think I would just like to echo an agreement with Matt that 76 is like the legal definition of the communities of interest, and 56 is the cultural understandings. But like Matt said, you know, these can get very, you know, depending on who you ask, those sorts of cultural understanding borders can change. So I know that's not helpful at all, but I also second, you know, good job, Matt, on a very difficult sort of map. Thank you. And I don't envy it, but I think you'll make the right choice. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Dragoni. Is there anyone else online who would wish to speak? I see Patricia Pyrus. Nice to see you, Pat. Or nice to see your name, anyway.
Hello there. I'm just watching.
Oh, Pat. Oh, it's nice that you're watching. Pat Pyrus and I are old friends. Sorry, I haven't seen her in many years. All right, so if there are no other public speakers, I will close the public.
Let me chime in just a moment. This is Michael Fried.
Michael, did you have your hand up?
No, I tried to raise it, but then the little thing for me to raise my hand went away. So
it's
I wasn't able to do that.
That I recognize your name.
Go ahead, thank
Michael.
You. Anyway, just to reiterate the comments from Tyler as well, and just recognizing that these borderlines that we've been discussing to some degree are, they're not really natural borderlines. When you talk about the freeway structures and things, the communities are defined quite readily by the streams and all that. And as was stated, this is a redistricting the Oraloma water treatment plant. You know, so basically, it is very community organized, just in that way. That I think we have to keep that in mind, that everybody's water runs from all our little districts into the same cesspool, if you would, and is treated appropriately with equanimity, regardless of the percentage.
So keep that in mind.
We can't discriminate with that. Anyway, I do appreciate all the work that you've done, especially with Matt's designation with all these things. So really appreciate it. And I'm not going to put any vote on any of the maps. That's up to you guys to decide. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. All right, if there are no additional speakers, I don't see any, then I will close the public hearing and bring this matter back to the board. Director Simon?
Yeah, I'd like to move that we approve map 76.
So we should have a discussion prior to that. Does anybody want to second it so we can have a discussion? Or?
I'll second it.
Oh, thank you, Director Dean. So we have a motion and a second. Now we will have discussion. Director Lee?
You know, the wonderful thing about this task, right, is that you have to deal with all those little blocks, right, and you're trying to fit them in, and it was not an easy job. You know, I put together a map. I think I got very low on the deviations, but again, the issue, of course, is that within that census-designated place, you would probably have the, you know, like multiple for Ashland, for example, and possibly multiple for actually, in that situation, was only two for San Leandro. I'm still disappointed because we didn't adhere to what we were talking about early on the school districts. I do agree. There's a reason why we hire you as a consultant, right? You're gonna focus on what we've asked you to do, and then with the exception of the school board part, I think you've covered exactly what we asked you to do, right? So. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Director Duncan.
How do I say this? I guess I really don't have an issue with map 76, but I'm not understanding. I guess I do understand why it trumps 56, but I guess I just don't agree with it, the logic of it. Because I think community of interest is very important. But I understand, you know, the legal definition of census and stuff. So I just want to say that. But, I understand, but many people have lived in these communities for a very long time, and they you know, they don't define themselves by census. And, you know, and I understand that too. And, but, you know, we just clean wastewater. That's all we do. So I'm okay with 76 too. But I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for your comments. Director Duncan, Director Dean, even I do it when you're away. Sorry. Director Dean?
I think given what we've seen and the difficulties of the mapping and the comments from our, especially the comments from our unincorporated residents, I think that 76/70 looks like our best bet.
Anything else?
Well, you know, the whole thing about the 880 as the dividing line, if that was the dividing line, we'd be breaking up so many communities with 880 as the dividing line. If you look where 880 goes through basically just about every single area. So I'm not buying that as a good way to look at a map. I like these census designated places, and it really makes the most sense to me. That's it.
Thank you very much for your comments, Mimi. And thanks again for chiming in from all the way over where you are.
Austria. I'm in Vienna.
Yes, I knew that. I didn't want to say it out loud.
Well, I was in Austin, Texas.
So, now that we've closed the public hearing and we have a motion on the floor, I will make my final comments. I don't oppose any of these maps because I don't frankly understand them. They just have to let me know if I'm allowed to run this year. So my term is up. So there is a motion on the floor, and I will ask for a roll call vote, please. To select, can you repeat your motion, Director Simon?
The motion is to approve map 76.
Okay. Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. Okay. Right, we got that part done. Now what?
Now the real fun starts. You have to, we mentioned this last time, you have to decide the sequencing of these districts. So you have to pick three of the districts to go be on the ballot in this November, and then the other two will be on the ballot in 2028. So you have to decide that. The only standard is what state law says is that in determining the final sequence of the district elections, the governing body shall give special consideration to the purposes of the California Voting Rights Act and take into account the preferences expressed by members of the district. So it's really broad.
What does that mean?
It's up to the board to decide how it wants to sequence them. I will say, just so the board is aware of this, we've talked previously about the law does not permit you to take into account where an incumbent board member lives for the purposes of drawing district map, the boundaries, the district boundaries. There is no prohibition on taking into account where board members live in determining the sequencing of the districts. So, it's really up to the
that again.
Yeah. So, state law prohibits you from taking into consideration where board members live when you are drawing the boundaries.
Got it.
So you can't say, oh, let's move this boundary over here so these two board members are in different election or in different districts. Nothing prohibits you from taking into account where board members live when you are determining the sequencing of these elections. So you've already directed that to use Map 76. So you really basically have endless discretion to decide how you want to sequence them. Three board members will be up, three seats will be up. So you need to, in 2026, so you need to select three of these districts to be on the ballot in 2026. The other two will be on the district, be on the ballot in 2028. And that will be the sequence, forever going forward.
How do we get five people?
So in
the two people are still on.
This two people are still on. So a board
only
elected, the redistricting process does not cut short anyone's term.
Okay.
So the, for a time being, there will be three seats where people are elected from those specific seats, and there will be from those specific districts, excuse me, and there will be two board members, the two who were elected in 2024, who will serve out the remainder of their term until 2028. And then in 2028, those two remaining districts will vote for who they want to represent them. And when, starting in 2026, when you are running for election, you or anyone else, you will only be able to run in the district in which you live.
Got it.
Yeah.
But just Lee.
Well, to Matt's credit, I think he's already numbered it. I would say odds and evens. We do that in the city of San Leandro. Right. So there's 1, 3, 5, 2, and 4. Right. I would probably recommend something like odds and evens.
So you would recommend District 1, District 3, and District 5.
Correct.
Run in 2026. Does everybody understand that?
No, because that's the three of us.
No, I know, but according to him, we can't talk about
it. No, you can't. You can talk about that for the sequencing.
That's
exactly who's up.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
so,
right. Although I do have a question. Let's assume that we were not allowed to do that. And let's assume, even though I've already recommended something else, or that Director Lee recommended something else, let's assume that District 2, three and one are select, two, three, and four are selected, and I live in District One. And when, so when my term is up, what happens to the representative for District One?
Well, there is no representative. So there is, for 2 years, there is no representative from District One.
There'd only be four people on the board?
That is what I...
No, sorry, maybe I misunderstood. You said two, three, and four are up. The two people elected at large in 2024 would continue to serve out. So there would be...
The question has to do with, let's just cut to the chase. I live in District 1.
Yeah.
If District 1 is not on the list for election in 26, and my term is up in 26, who represents District 1?
No one represents just District 1. Two people represent the whole district still, and three people, excuse me, the whole...
Would only be four people on the board?
No. No, there would be someone from District 2, District 3, and District 4, yeah, plus the two people elected at large in 2024. So there would be the people elected from District 2, District 3, and District 4.
It's not important.
Benny and Mimi.
Because I'm in District. So, Mimi, do you want to chime in on this?
I think what's trying to be said is that if someone's term is up and they don't, their district does not run in this time, how do we get five people on the board? Because is that what we're trying to talk
if
about?
If their sense? Term is up and their seat is not up for election, they cannot run. Someone who lives in that district will have to run. Someone who's not currently on the board will have to run.
But if their district's not up, how can they run?
They cannot run. Oh, they will have to not be on the board. Their term will end and they will be ineligible to run for re-election.
We understand. How do we get five people on the board at all times?
I'm clearly not articulating myself. Okay, but I'm just going to use real people here, right? So let's say two, three, and four are up. What? One, three, and five. That's what we said, right?
Reality.
So they're up.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying that if we don't do it that way.
Right. So two, three, and...
I can make this really clear for her. Mimi, if two is up and you're in District 2, you still get to serve until 2028.
Sheila,
I understand.
So
that's why there would be five.
Sheila, I'm not talking about people whose terms expire in 3 years. I'm talking about people whose terms expire in 6 months in November.
Right.
That's what I'm talking
about. So if two, three, and four, so no matter what districts are up, Director Dean and Director Lee will continue to serve on the board until 2028. Those two people will continue to serve on the board.
Correct.
Three people will run in the districts that are up. They could be people currently on the board or not on the board. Anyone can run who lives in the district. So those three districts were each elected people. So you have the two pre-existing people plus the three districts, and that gets you to five.
What confuses me that
all right,
we have two people that live in District 3.
Right.
One is up in 2026.
And 2028.
Can I just... And one is up in 2028. So does that mean that there's no open position in three?
No. So the people, let's say there's a district where two people.
Right.
So this is in three, right? So in 2026, Director Simon's term is up. If he wants to run for re-election, he has to run in District 3. Vice President Lee has a choice to make. He can decide to run for that seat in 2026, or he can say, I'm going to serve out the rest of my term, and then in 2028, there will be no district for me to run for because District 3 won't be up and I'll be off the board. If he runs for number 3 and wins, he'd have to vacate his at-large position seat. So then there'd be a vacancy in one of the at-large positions. The board would have to appoint someone to fill that at-large position through the end of the, you know, Director Lee's original term. So for the remaining 2 years.
That's what we were trying to get at, Alex, exactly right there.
We'll appoint someone.
But it still confuses me because you're saying that the whole point of us doing this is that through not having two people representing the same district.
Well, until 28.
Yes, there is a transition period. Yeah.
Confusing.
So for the 2 years, there will be, you know, some transitional things going on. But by 2028, all five seat people will be on the board representing a specific district.
Exactly.
In my defense, we went over this on the very first presentation a long time ago, but no one wanted to pay attention to this.
Not in this detail.
No, and not period. Because okay. I'm saying, okay, so that means that in District 4, no one will be represented.
Not this time around.
On the at-large people.
Yes, correct. For the first 2 years until 2028. Okay. Yes.
That's,
yeah.
They'll be represented by the at-large members.
That's right. Correct.
And okay. Hopefully all of the board members will continue to represent all constituents, even not just their district.
I'm going to be on if I can get elected.
Just glad I don't
Director Simon.
As much as I had one more. Whoa.
Director Simon.
Yeah, just one clarification. So the appointment at large is, as it says, at large, anywhere in the district.
Yeah. Yes. Anywhere in the district, and the board can decide whether they want to take into consideration, you know, what seats aren't represented at that point. But legally, it could be anyone in the district.
And they can serve on that for 2 years.
Correct.
If there was a motion, I'll second it.
I don't think there is a motion.
But he made it.
You made it? No, he didn't make. He made.
No, he made it.
Okay. He made the motion.
If someone is, has someone made it?
I suggested
move the selection.
Well, I didn't make a motion. I made a suggestion, right, based off the numbering scheme that our consultant had done, which was odds and evens. It makes it very easy. You know, if I want to be terrible, I could say, hey, let's just pick other districts and then
just make a motion.
Yeah. So
6:30.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. My motion is odds and evens.
I'm tired.
I think everybody understands.
26, you are choosing
odds and
districts
evens.
1, 3, and 5.
Yes.
I second.
Godly.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. Gets my turn on the air conditioning. All right. Thank you all very much for your patience. It is 6:30. We're going to take a 5-minute break. King has ruled itself.
And thank you for coming.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
For coming. Thank you for your comments on Long
Red.
Yes.
You might think it was the game. I did not.
Good seeing you. Oh, I do have one question. Oh my gosh.
You did it.
Yeah.
You
did it.
Good job, Matt. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yes. Right on, man.
Okay. Turn off the audio. Turn on the audio. All right. Thank you. It is 6 to, I don't know what time it is. It's 6:30 something. It's hard to see the, it's about 6:38. Sixth, whatever. We are going back to the Oralama board meeting of I almost said October 12, wishful thinking. May 12. And we're on to item 6, the consent calendar, which consists of the minutes of the board meeting of April 28 and approval. Oh, that is the consent calendar. Good heavens, why do we have them both? So I would entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Director Lee, second.
Moved and seconded. All those, oh, I need a roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Director Dean, you need to unmute. Wake up. She may have.
Director Mimi, Dean. Wake up.
Director Dean? Move on to the next vote.
Director Simon?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
That's okay. You just need to vote on the consent calendar.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. That is a unanimous vote for the consent calendar. We'll move on to new business, item 7.1, accept project as complete and authorization to file the notice of completion for the EBMUD well demolition phase one. I don't think we need a full discussion on this. It's simply approving.
I'd like to move the item.
Thank you.
Director Lee, second.
Motion and a second to accept the East Bay Mud well demolition phase. Filing notice of completion. I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. Move on to item 7.2, authorization to call for bids for the treatment unit grading replacement project phase two. Mr. Dang.
This is a continuation of phase one, which is replacing our worn fiberglass grating throughout our treatment unit, our splitter box, and our chlorine contact channel dosing point. Phase one completed about half of that work last fiscal year with aluminum grating, and this project is to finish off the rest of that.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Seeing none.
I'd like to move the item.
Thank you for the motion.
Director Lee, I second.
A motion and a second to approve the authorization to call for bids on the treatment unit grading replacement project phase two. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye. Sorry.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. All right. Well, that was faster than a speeding bullet. All righty, then. We'll move on to item 8, board discussion. Do I go to you, Mr. Dang, or do I have to go, Mr. Director?
So it's a board requested item, so you can go directly to the...
Director. Well, I was... You know, I'm on all these boards, and they always celebrate their agencies for these major anniversaries. And we are the oldest sanitation district in Alameda County. And I thought that we should do something to celebrate, not something big, but maybe a cake or maybe it's no more than sending a card to the various agencies saying that we're celebrating 115 years. We're having cake. If you'd like to come, you can come get some. I don't know, just a thought. We don't invite other public officials to our agency a lot.
I have no problem with it, but I don't consider 15 a major soapstone.
Oh, I thought it was 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
It's usually 25, 50, 175, and 100. And we did a major event for the 100th many years ago, 15 years ago. I don't have a problem having a cake here for the district, but when you start talking about inviting other agencies and people to come and celebrate, that's more than a little time consuming, I think. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Brett?
Well, I'm supportive of the idea to recognize it. I'm supportive, and depending on what level, I'm still open to that. I mean, I hear both sides here. Just thinking out loud, is there a way to combine it with something else that we have already going on and recognize?
We have a lot on our plate right now. That's all I was thinking. What's the actual date? Does anybody know?
August 7th.
A little time.
August 7th actually will be at CASA.
I was just going to say that. So maybe I'll just...
Maybe we could have a cake at CASA and invite everybody at the CASA conference to celebrate in your suite.
Okay. Just a thought.
Do you have any comments, thoughts? Anybody on staff? Virtually?
Your thought. It's not, does it have to be an exact time of August is my question.
No.
If we had any other events happening district-wide, we could celebrate it at the same time.
An idea.
And I like with the golden ticket.
Right. That's where I was headed. This is an option. In October, we're planning to do that. And we're going to, we have a lot of.
I haven't seen the whatever we're talking about for a golden ticket yet. But anyway.
What was your idea?
Well, I was thinking because we're having, we are hosting ACSDA here in August, I believe, for a sunset tour. And those are all elected officials, and they're all wastewater companies mostly. And we could do something in conjunction with that event.
I like that.
That would make some sense. Maybe we could have napkins printed up, you know, because we're feeding them. Maybe napkins could be, I don't know, you'll think of something. Maybe a pen or something that, you know, I've seen other groups that do lapel pins that say, like, Hard did one for their 75th anniversary. I don't know, we can give that some thought.
Good idea.
Yeah, I was only thinking of cake and some punch, but you know me, I'm cheap. I love that we are at least brainstorming it. So right. I'm fine with, you know.
Well, you asked about combining with another group, and I think that makes perfect sense because it's in August.
And I said I like that idea.
We could just have a cake that's 115 years or something. Director Lee?
My comments are you know, like I'm very supportive of something where we celebrate. We celebrate our successes. We celebrate milestones, and we celebrate achievements. 115 years, a milestone, you know.
Nothing to sneeze at.
What?
Nothing to sneeze at, I said.
Yeah, it's...
I'm getting
but
tired.
In terms of celebration, like I said, it should be on our successes, our achievements, and also our milestones.
Very good. So can we move forward with something like that?
Yeah, everybody? I'm fine with it. I mean,
okay.
I thought 115 is a milestone.
It is.
Well, if I could ever reach that age, it would be a milestone for me.
I'm not interested in getting that old. I'm sorry.
Director Dean, do you have any other comments about this?
No, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, perfect. All right, we're trying to get through this quickly so you can go to sleep.
Thank you guys for the support.
Sure. Okay, so then we'll move on to item 9.1, policy review of draft payroll procedures policy. That's on page 77.
Yes, so the payroll procedures policy is in your handout. I'll make this very simple. There's a lot of cleanup language in here, specifically because we are no longer using this older policy, a company called Ceridian Services Bureau. We are now using ADP, and we have converted from paper time cards to now electronic. So the bulk of these red lines and purple lines are updating that to that effect. One other thing that changed in here has to do with payroll cycle, not cycles, but when they're actually getting paid. There's a section here that says they normally get paid by Friday. No, that's not true anymore. They get paid by Wednesday following the end of the pay period. So aside from that, the rest of this is cleanup language. So I'm happy to take any comments.
Comments, questions from the board? Do you need a motion or just an acceptance? It's just a review. Just a review. So
adopt the policy, yeah. Adopt the updated policy.
Approve the draft payroll policy. Okay. Director Lee?
I'm going to make a comment and I'm going to make a motion.
Okay.
I want to thank staff for doing such a wonderful job. And also appreciate the general neutral aspect because it had a lot of he, himself, and whatever, and now it's gender neutral. So moved on this item.
Thank you. Questions, comments, Director Simon?
Yeah, I have a question. As far as board member, does this relate to board members too?
Parts of it does, but not necessarily. Board members don't have to log into ADP to submit their time cards. Board members simply just send us emails with their meetings that you guys attend for the month, and then we process it on your behalf. I don't think you, unless you want to log into ADP and submit your own time card that way, but I don't think that's what you guys want to do.
No. I was just curious, like on timing of payment.
That's also different because the board is on the monthly cycle and the staff is on every 2 weeks.
Thank you. Moved it. And was that a second?
I will second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Dr. Simon?
Yes.
Aye.
Vice President?
Aye.
President Young?
Aye. Thank you. We'll move on to the draft purchasing procedures for goods and services policy.
Yes. So this policy in general is cleanup. This was approved very recently, but it is coming back. It was approved 4 months ago, but it is coming back because we have added a whole section related to paper procurement as required by SB 1383. So under page 92 of 110 in your packet, there are requirements defined by SB 1383 that we need to purchase as a district recycled paper. And so we just wanted to include that in this policy to make sure that we are following it and it's captured somewhere. And that is essentially the change in this policy that we're proposing.
I have a comment on page 91, second paragraph of item 5, Finance Department, where you crossed out a supervisor or manager. Shouldn't that say finance manager? So it doesn't get confused with general manager.
It should be a manager should approve all purchases or purchase requisitions. So we're missing the A, actually. So we'll fix that.
So it'll be A manager. Got
correct.
It. Okay. Then on page.
Is that a general manager or you're
the finance manager?
No. It's any manager is allowed to approve a purchase.
How many managers do we have?
We have, including me, 7.
So the distinction between you and them was what I was trying to. So it can be any manager. It doesn't have to be the finance manager.
Any manager up to got the it. Limit set forth in the table that's above.
Got it.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. Because shouldn't if you're spending money, shouldn't the manager in the department that you work in be the one that approves it? Because if I'm in a manager and I don't know, I can just sign anything.
That is true. However, we don't do that.
I'm not saying specifically you, because you
can clarify
making
that.
This policy to live beyond us.
In some cases, a manager may not be here. For example, say Joe is out on vacation, and got work to do. the other Joe may sign on his behalf. And
yeah, I would say you
or
would be
I
the
can sign
person, right?
as well.
Not, no. I mean, that's my input, is that it should be, the manager should be the manager of your department, and if they're unavailable, then the general manager can sign. Okay.
Good with that, Director Lee?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would agree with that, because typically, and I've seen it in the city of San Leandro, I've seen it in corporations, is delegated authority, right? Whoever is like acting in that role, if it's another manager who's acting, that is clearly defined here that management has discretionary authority up to $15,000. We're talking about the purchasing process for, you know, largely paper, right? I don't think we need to really hold that to specifically the general manager. I think that the general manager has a lot of things to do. I think the seven levels of managers can definitely provide that support as well as delegated authority.
As
I knew you were talking about just buying paper.
I thought that's what I understood. Well, for example, paper is one of them, but then...
But I thought it was a procurement.
And it has a purchasing authority, up to 15,000.
And I'm okay with you disagreeing, but...
Mr. Dang.
Yeah, as I reread this paragraph, the nature of the sentence just is generic to say that a manager must approve all purchase recs, meaning staff can't. That's what this sentence is intended to say. A manager must approve all purchases.
It doesn't matter because he disagrees, and you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter, as you say. Well, you said it will outlive all of us, so if there's some way to make it clearer, the staff will do so. Correct? Thank you. I don't think I have any more questions on this item myself. So I would entertain a motion to review this. Approve the draft purchasing procedures with any minor changes suggested by the board.
So moved.
I need a second for this, or the motion fails.
Do I understand you're going to make the recommendation per Rita's comment? Is that what I understand?
Try to make it clearer.
Make it more clear that a manager should only be approving purchases within their department.
Okay, I second.
Okay. We'll call a vote, please.
Is the word going to be should or shall?
So,
thank you, thank Alex. You.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. I have a recommendation. On page 109. Why do we always consistently have a blank page in the middle of our document? It's so easy to hit the delete button. Not a big deal, just a comment. Remember what I did for a living. Okay, we'll move on to staff and director comments. We do have a closed session following this, so rather than have staff wait around for the end of the meeting, we'll allow staff to make comments now. So, Mr. Dang, you have comments to make?
Yeah, the only comment I have is next Tuesday is our joint board meeting. I mentioned this at the last board meeting of the four different topics we'll be discussing. Just as a quick reminder, it's to talk about the planning level master study scope definition between the two boards. The next is to a review of the 10-year CIP and R&R. Third is to review the cloth filter project and the status there, specifically for Cache Valleys. I don't believe they've seen that yet. And lastly, just to communicate some joint efforts between the two agencies that we've been engaging in. So looking forward to that. That is at 6 p.m. start, and that will be in the OMC training room. No other comments.
Alex? Not a thing. Nothing happening in the world of the legals that we need to know about. Okay. Joe?
Directors always recognize staff. We want to make you aware that we recognize.
They can't hear him.
Oh, we have to use a microphone to see that again, Joe, because when you say something nice, we want it on the record.
Really?
Go to Vienna.
As it, typically, you guys always recognize staff. Staff wants to recognize you guys because you make it special here. So I just want you to realize that you're appreciated out here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Pearl, nice to see you here this evening. Thank you. Chatu and Janetta. All right, then, Director Dean.
I have no comment tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Simon.
Nice job, staff, on every level. Thank you very much. I have two items I'd like to request a thumbs up, three thumbs up on. The first one is I would like to request a discussion at the next available board meeting on water recycling, obtaining purveyor rights for Oraloma. And Alex has prepared a memo within the two-hour limit. And per that memo, more work needs to be done on his part. So I'm hoping that we can discuss that, his work as a board, and decide if we'd like to proceed with what steps necessary to allow Alex to see what we need to do to get our own rights to serve recycled water someday in the future. So I'm looking for three thumbs up to add that for discussion.
My thumb is up.
I don't have a problem with the discussion on the item, but I think we have a whole lot of stuff on our plate now. So I think later on, as you recommended, it could be later on to have this discussion.
I'm recommending when it
can. Well, I mean, I'm not in the majority votes. I'm just
right.
Making
I'm saying when it can fit Jimmy's agenda. This is not real work for Jimmy and staff. This is just for us to discuss as a board and to direct Alex. So this is not a real staff.
This will be more work for Alex.
Yes.
Anyway, you have a majority vote, so I just wanted to make my comments since I have no majority on this board.
My second comment or my second request for thumbs up would be a discussion by the board at our next available time. And again, this is not staff time work. This is just for us board to talk about is creating an Oraloma endowment for the arts, some type of fund or pool that we can start to create more arts or at least incorporate more arts into the work that we do. For example, the student contest that we did was awesome and a lot of great work came out of that. And having some discussion on how we can incorporate that more in our district, whether it's at the plant, whether it's on the Bay Trail, murals, wraps, whatever we'd like to do, we can talk about it and kind of plan forward with that. I'd like to request a thumbs up for that.
I would support that idea with a thumbs up.
I have a problem with it because to me it's cosmetics. I think we have a lot more work to do as far as educating our ratepayers about what their responsibility is. But I'm just going to put that out that I think anything, I shouldn't say anything to do with art. I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we have not been doing to educate our customers, what their role is. And as I shared, if you look at the amount of people who are getting notices for not putting their trash in the right receptacle, I personally would like to focus some energy on that instead of creating an art endowment. But I will hold my finger up so we can discuss it. But where I sit right now, to me, us creating an endowment is cosmetics. When we have really other things that I think we need to be doing. But you got your three thumbs up.
Okay, Director Duncan, you're next. Well, the three thumbs. They've recognized the three thumbs. So
okay, no,
you're next,
Pearl. It's just great to see Pearl. Pearl, it's great to see you. I think we had a great discussion around the districting. It was great for us to be unanimous on choosing the map, and I'm glad I was able to make it on time to participate in the discussion. That's it.
Thank you for all the work that staff has done, and again, thank you for, and well, not thank you, but then coming back safely, right? You know, I rarely ask for items, right? I think last year I probably asked two or three items, right? And this time, this item I'm going to ask is actually pretty large, right? At the end of our meetings, we constantly get a number of requests, and I want staff to capture that information, right, and quantify that information. And is it still ongoing? Has it been completed? And what is the outcome? How much staff time it requires? Because that's in the interest of transparency. You know, every time we make these requests, it consumes our staff. It adds to the burden to our staff. So I'm asking for three thumbs up. This will put an additional burden on staff, and I expect staff to even count this as one of the items because it's going to be an ongoing thing. The board places more tasks on staff, and I think it's important for us to see what we've added on top. So do I have three thumbs up?
I thought we already doing that. We already asked him to capture all the action items and put it on a document. On the agenda.
From a master list.
Well, I'm looking at what that's on a going forward basis. So
months ago is for for the action items to be captured. Am I wrong, Jimmy? I'm asking Jimmy because that's what you've been doing.
I've been reporting at GM action items. Yes,
but have we reported all the staff time that's required? I think it's important for us to capture the staff time, identify some things that have been completed, and what the outcomes were. That's in the interest of transparency when board members pile on top of the work that staff is doing.
Is there a way to quantify that?
Well, just to be clear, Director Lee, you're asking for action items that I've worked on with staff and to create a report that shows how many hours or time committed to provide those items? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. So basically, these are actions that are above and beyond, above the current task. It's the stuff that the board has requested. I would like to see, a quantification of time and hours, right? That and things that are still ongoing as a result of that.
I would say, just as a quick response, to go back and figure out how many hours. At best, there'll be an estimate from some of the staff, even from myself. So give you an exact number, I'm not sure I'd be able to do that, but it'd be some sort of estimate.
I think that would be fine. So first and foremost, I want to find out if the board is interested in this type of transparency. Because they are requesting to add items to your plate.
How does the board want to handle this? Does anybody else want to see a list? Maybe we could start from now.
Well, right now, I think, do you want to add this to future agenda to discuss this concept?
We can put this
to figure out whether we have three votes to do that. Right. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Does anybody else on the board want to do this? And my suggestion to Mr. Lee was perhaps we could start now and not try to go backwards, which creates more work. I mean, if you want to have a master list of ongoing projects recommended by the board, I wouldn't have an objection to doing it going forward, but I'm not interested in going backward.
Would we be amenable to capturing all the items this year?
Yeah.
So I think if this is something we can discuss on a future agenda, what this would capture, whether it be past
there. Let's see if we can move this towards a discussion.
But if you don't have three things.
Yeah, just to see if, yeah.
If I don't have three votes, I can't do it. So I was asking you if you wanted to amend your request so we could get three votes.
Okay, so let's go ahead and going forward. Can we get three thumbs up on that?
Well, clearly your partners on the other side of the aisle are not cooperating with you. Mimi Dean, how do you feel about this?
I'm kind of on the fence here, and I'm not really understanding how this is going to make things more transparent. So I don't think I can put my thumbs up on this.
Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. I have a couple of tiny things. I just wanted to acknowledge receiving the AI transcript of our last meeting and tell you that I laughed all the way through my lunch. And I think we can dispose of that idea, just for the record. Secondly, ACSDA meeting is tomorrow. It's at Castro Valley. Mm-hmm. It's at the Castro Valley offices, and it is presented by Stop Waste.
Oh, okay.
So Stop Waste is the host, but they're doing it at the central office location at Castro Valley. That's at 7:45 in the morning, with the meeting starting at 8. It also is election time at the board level. So if any of you are interested in serving on the board, you should be there and nominate yourself. third thing I want to suggest, I did send a note to Patricia and ask her to forward to each of you the invitation to the Rowell Ranch Pro Rodeo Chamber Mixer and Rodeo Roundup, which I have a copy of here if any of you
get it.
Oh, did she send it?
No, I got it from them.
Well, they sent it to me as president of the board, and I asked Patricia to forward it to all of us. So I'm just asking anyone who didn't already get it.
I got it already. And not from
anybody's interested, I have a copy of it here. And other than that, it's been a long meeting and we're almost done. Thank you to Pearl for being here tonight. Thank you, Joe, Chatu, Janetta. Everybody else is welcome to leave the meeting, go home, have a nice dinner with your family. While we continue on to a closed session where all unessential personnel may leave the Zoom workplace and the building or the room, you know, to leave the building. But anyway, this meeting is adjourned to closed session. So non-essential personnel.
Hi. Thank you for acknowledging us.
Thank you, Joe.
No. Hi, Joe.
Nice evening.
Hi.
Enjoy your cold session.
Thank you. Well, nice of you to tell us to enjoy. We got some water.
Oh. Document the time that we're done if you want. Yeah. Let me stop recording.
This closed session. And I'll turn this over to the attorney for comment.
Yeah, there was no reportable action in closed session on either item.
Thank you very much. So back into open session, item 12, 12.1, resolution approving the purchase of 2541 Grant Avenue.
So this is the property immediately next door to this administrative building. The board previously provided direction to attempt to purchase it. We retained a broker who reached out. The owner claims he's getting ready to put it on the market anyway. Who knows if that is true or not? But he agreed to sell the property for $980,000, which was within the range provided by the appraisal that the district got. The total cost, we're asking for authority of $1.1 million. That includes, so what that would be is, it should be less than that, but it's $980,000. It's a 5% commission for the broker, and that is covering our share and the seller's share. That was part of the seller's deal. So it's 2.5% each.
You have to fix the lateral. Sorry.
And closing costs, right? So we're going to get title insurance. We're going to, the escrow fees, we'll have a share of that. So we don't know the exact costs yet. We don't have those estimates from the title, from the escrow company. The escrow hasn't been opened yet, but that'll be a couple thousand, 10,000 plus the toll. So it should come in below, 1.1 million total. We're still going, there's a due diligence period. We're still going through that, but we should be able to probably within 30 days from now, if this is approved, be closed and have that property in our, own that property.
During the due diligence, do we know if there's any remediation on that property, on those grounds?
We don't. We could do, we've been here for a long time next to it, so we don't have, record from us of, there being anything next door. A phase one environmental assessment, we could do and try to get someone to do that quickly. That's really just, we look at historic pictures and news articles and see if, there's a story about a gas station that closed or things like that. And so the phase one is just surface level. And then if they find something, you do a phase two. But we don't think there's always a chance. It's been next door to us this whole time.
When did we buy this piece of land? When did we buy this piece of land?
Gosh, 100 years ago?
Oh, very long time. This building was constructed, I want to say, in 46.
And we may have owned that land originally. The title report shows easements that we granted to someone that go over that land at some point. Yeah.
No, my question is I don't know how. Is that's East Bay Regional Park. When they have any knowledge of what was the land?
On the other side, I doubt anyone there does. Like, you'd have to go try to find their old records or something.
And the parking lot is, on the other side of this piece of property. That's all.
Is that East Bay Regional Park? That's the Bay Trail, isn't it?
Yes, that's a Park District staging area.
Was that? Okay. No, I didn't know that. I just...
And just a general comment is that
they were regional shoreline.
The district owns all of the property around here. While we share ownership of the plant, we own all of the property underneath. And this has come up in other situations too, where they've wanted something and we've said, this has nothing to do with the plant. It's not your business. and so, the same thing would be here. They won't be paying for any part of this and we'll have no control over it. If at some point, some aspect of the plant is located here, we might have to work with them on what that is, but they wouldn't own the property underlying.
Neither would Castro Valley.
Correct. That's the Castro Valley. That's what I meant by they. Castro Valley would not.
He was answering Benny's question.
Right. Well, Benny, I think Benny's question had more to do with the building? You want to ask your question?
I'm on the land.
I thought it was with CVSN that we need to get their permission.
They'll be responsible for buying part of the building, though.
Yeah, because, you know, pretty much we pay 75, they pay 25, right?
And, he said no. Yeah. I'm just saying he answered your question.
Oh.
So let me clarify. If we build something here, they might, depending on what we build, they may have a share of that cost. But we don't know what that is yet. Or
wait a minute. If we build...
We build a building, they have to pay part of the building cost, not the ground.
Depending on what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's
the facility, yeah.
Office is related to operation of the plant.
If it's so like the operation maintenance center, right? They paid some of that. If we just built a brand new boardroom that was ours and not related to the operation of the plant, they might not have to pay anything for that.
That needs to be clear for me, because I understand if we build something that is connected with the treatment plant, but if we build a community meeting room or
right, that shouldn't have any, if it's not connected to the plant, they don't have any obligation or say to pay for it or say over it.
Does that answer your question, Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Simon?
Kind of a build on your question about the hazardous materials. Did we check? There's like a website that shows hazardous plumes around. Nothing on that website?
Yeah, it's not listed on the like Cortese list, for example, which is the list of contaminated sites by the state.
And at some point, I forgot how or where I heard this, something about marijuana being grown there or something.
Marijuana was sold.
There's sold, yeah.
Yeah, but marijuana can have chemicals used to grow all kind of stuff. Can we get in there?
We need to know if we've been inside the building.
Yeah, can we get in there and look what's happening before we buy it?
We can, yes, we can go inside the building. Once we sign the agreement, we have the right during the due diligence period to go inside the building. And if we go inside and see, oh my God, there's whatever there,
dead body
or whatever, we have the right to terminate it.
Okay. Can we bring an inspector in there with us?
Yeah, we could bring whoever we want.
Thank you.
Just one further comment. Is it our intent to buy the property and tear the building down?
That is a question for the board. Right now, the board is just purchasing it, and you could tear it down. You could hold it for as long as you want until you know what you want to do with it.
Well, I'm not going to be very popular when I say this. I don't object to our purchasing it. However, I just want to remind myself and anybody who's listening that we spend a lot of time trying to make staff understand the value of money and asking for lists of things we spend money on. And yet we want to spend $1 million on a building without even having a major discussion about what it costs and where the money's coming from. That sort of bothers me, but I'm willing to sign on to this resolution because I'm not sure what we're doing with the building, but that's for another discussion. And it will cost probably another $1 million to do something with the property, including, if we decide to do that, tearing it down, getting some architect or engineer to draw something. I mean, it's not cheap to buy the building.
Yeah, and that's a good comment, that we will at some point come back to the board for the board direction on, we'll use funds now to pay for it, but where you want, you know, do you want this to come all out of the franchise fee? Do you want it split between these funds? We'll come back to that. So we'll use money now to purchase the property, but then come back so the board can make a final decision and money would be redistributed at that
point. I just think we need to make sure that we think about it and discuss it thoroughly as we go forward. So at this point, yes, Director Simon.
Building on that also, as far as use of that land, there's a lot of ideas been kicked around. Expansion of a boardroom, since this is a 1940s or 50s boardroom, whatever this is. a community room, maybe more office space. Need to tear that building down to do that. You mentioned at some point getting an architect in to at least get some concepts together. When can we have that discussion?
You have to complete the building and the due diligence and all that. It's probably sometime in the summer, I would think.
Or that, or now can we say, come up with some concepts or some sketches of what you would like to say?
I think we have a lot on our plate. I know what you're saying, and they're going to say, of course, because they're not going to say no. I'm just saying we need to stop putting more work on staff until we get some of this stuff done. So I think in the summertime, after we buy the property, after we do due diligence and figure out what we're doing before we shove them off to go make some designs.
Can I finish speaking, please?
Go ahead.
Why I'm asking this, and I'm just talking here, and that's what we're supposed to be doing is discussing, is I'm asking this because, like you say, people come and ask us, okay, you're spending $1 million on this piece of property for what? We're kicking around ideas for what, but it'd be nice to have more than just we've kicked around some ideas. So I'm just saying, would we spend $25,000 out of $1 million to flush out a bit more on what we want out of this plan?
I don't think you can have someone, the board has to decide what you want before an architect can do something, right? You have
three things: boardroom, community room, office space.
And to me, it's can't you just, if anyone come to you, you can say, we bought it to be able to expand. We don't have to be definitive about what it is. For me, it's like we need to get this property because I get claustrophobic when I come in here. The air is not clean, or you can say we're going to get a boardroom or we're going to start meeting over there. To me, it's the first thing is us buy it,
and then we're doing that. That's
and then and said we just breathe. I'm sorry to be so real.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
No, it isn't okay. We may find out somebody got killed over there, and I don't want to be mean over there. Okay.
We're being recorded. We're not.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Oh God.
Oh dear.
I got killed over there.
We need a vote.
So if
God, that was AI speaking.
Wait, no, we need them.
I move the item.
Second.
I'll do a roll call vote. Director Dean.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan. Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Did you turn that recorder off? I'm sorry. A dead body. Oh, Rita.
We haven't turned off the recorder yet.
Thanks, Mimi. Good night, Mimi. Good morning, Mimi.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Mimi. Sleep well.